This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين وصلي وسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمداً صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. So alhamdulillah, a few days ago, a new Hijri year began. So this is a good opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. If you live longer, it should be seen as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this in authentic hadith al-Bukhari. He says, when someone lives longer, إِمَّا مُحْسِنٌ فَلَعَلَّهُ يَزْدَادْ أَوْ مُسِيءٌ فَلَعَلَّهُ يَسْتَعْتِبْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Allah blesses you with a long life, if you live longer, and you are doing good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you another opportunity to do more good. And if you are doing bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a second chance to do better this time. So every time a new year begins, you should sit down and think about last year. And if you're doing good, alhamdulillah, maybe I should do more, I should do better. My niyyah should be fi sabilillah, not showing off, and so on and so forth. If you are doing bad, you're falling short, maybe this is your chance to do better bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So every time a new year begins, this is what you should have. Because if you are now what you were 2 years ago or 3 years ago, then you basically wasted 3 years of your life. So say for example, if your tajweed sucks, or you still have no khushu' in salah, or your relationship is broken with your husband or your wife, or you don't have a good relationship with Allah, then something is wrong and you need to do something about it. And Allah is giving you another chance, so don't ruin it. If a new Hijri year begins, or say for example, this is your birthday, anything. So for example, if you are 33 years old this year, in the Hijri calendar, you're actually 34. Because every 33 years Gregorian, 2016, 17, 18, this is 10, 11 days more than the Hijri year. And this is why Ramadan moves up 10, 11 days every year. So the Hijri year is actually shorter, which means you're actually older than your age that you post on Facebook, right? So if you're 33, you're actually 34 Hijri, right? So now, when I think about the last year or the past years, and I should do an estimation, like evaluation of my life, where my weak or strong points are and my weak points are. And this will help me improve, inshallah, this year. I'm doing better this year because Allah gave me another chance. When I look at relationships, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your relationship with the people, every time there is a problem, you should question yourself. Most of the time we question people, we question everything, we don't question ourselves. So say for example, if you see the distance between you and Allah is getting bigger, you're getting more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not move away one inch. You are the one who is moving away. So you should question yourself. So if you have a broken relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a broken relationship with the people, then there are some things that you need to do. And I've looked at the problems that we see and the challenges we face. And today, inshallah, we'll cover four of the challenges and the problems that we have in our lives. If you want to improve your relationship with Allah and the people, you have to look at these four points that I'm going to give you, inshallah ta'ala. So this will help you become a better human being and also a better Muslim, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Number one, the problem, the factor, the reason why we have broken relationships with Allah and the people. Number one, I found out that is reason number one, blind following. Sometimes we do things because this is part of our culture. As JazakAllah khair. And sometimes we do things because your parents are doing it, people of your culture are doing it, people around you are doing it. You'd say, for example, someone is selling pork or alcohol in their convenience store. Everyone is doing it. This is what we think, right? Say, for example, if someone is smoking in high school, all my colleagues are doing it, right? We just follow them blindly, we copy them. And the reason is, we condition ourselves subconsciously that this is okay because everyone else is doing it. And this will give you peace of mind and you will relax because, hey, everyone is doing it, right? So it should be okay. The problem with that is, we take people and the culture and people around us, especially the bad ones, the problem is we copy bad people and not the good ones, right? So you take people as your GPS, your guide in life. And subhanAllah, when I think of this, I remember the lady from British Columbia. She was visiting Nevada in the US with her husband, and she was going somewhere in Nevada. It was like a 10-15 minute drive using the GPS. She ended up in the mountains of Nevada and she was stuck there for 7 weeks. She almost died because she was following the GPS blindly. I'm going up the mountains. The store is in downtown. Why are you going up in the mountains? No, I trust my GPS. 7 weeks lost in the mountains because following the GPS, right? And there is a lady from Ontario, she was following the GPS and she ended up in Lake Huron. Wallahi, she fell in the lake with her car. And the GPS voice was like, you have arrived. Arrived where? You are in the lake, right? But people just follow blindly. And subhanAllah, if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes these people. In Surah Ankabut, it talks about some of the points we'll cover in the khutbah today. So Ibrahim alayhi salam questions these people. وَقَالَ يعني إبراهيم عليه السلام إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا يعني بتقلدوا بعض وخلاص ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا So Ibrahim عليه السلام is telling his people, you guys are worshipping idols. It doesn't make any sense to worship idols that cannot benefit or harm you. But the reason you're worshipping them is because everyone is doing the same thing. You don't want to be alienated. You don't want to be like, you don't want to feel like a zombie, like people don't talk to you anymore. You just copy them blindly and khalas. Even if it doesn't make sense, so what? So this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling them. Don't copy other people. It is not good. If most people are doing something haram or something wrong, it doesn't justify the wrong. But people find uns bin nas fil khata. If someone is doing something bad, oh, I'm going to do it, khalas, khalas. It should be okay, because most people are doing it. And when Allah talks about the majority of the people in the Quran, He says, أَكْثَرُهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, most of the people, they are, you know, doing, like, acting ignorantly. Most people are disbelievers. Most people are ungrateful to Allah. When he talks about few people, he says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ Indeed, a few people are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be deceived by the numbers. Even if you are the only one who is doing good, don't worry too much about the big numbers. And I always give the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. He had 11 brothers. 10 of them tried to kill him, their own brother. So you would assume he had 11 brothers, mashallah, he has izzah, he's happy. No, they tried to ruin his life and kill him. Musa alayhi salam had one and he supported him all the way. You see, so don't be fooled by the numbers, right? Do the right thing regardless of the numbers, right? So blind following is not good. Now the second thing that I'd like to cover in terms of the broken relationships. When people lack the guidance in their life, what is your guide in life? Yes, sometimes we have the knowledge, we have the khibra in life, but without guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and true knowledge, you would be lost in this life. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was asked by Bilal, when he was Khalifa, he said, Umar, you're the Khalifa. And subhanAllah, he said, you were an intelligent person before Islam. You have aql, intelligent. How could you make sajda to an idol, a stone? How could you do this? Right? You make sajda to an idol you created of ajwa, dates.
When you get hungry at night, you ate up your gut. You are traveling in the desert, Ya Umar, you find a stone, it looks good, oh, this is my gut. A few miles after, you see a bitter looking gut, you throw the first one in the garbage and you take the second one as your gut. How come you did this? You were intelligent. How can you do this? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, brother, yes, Bilal, the aql was there, but there is no hidayah, there is no irshad, rushd, there is no guidance, right? I didn't have the proper guidance in my life. Yes, the aql was there, but without the true proper guidance, I will be lost. So we all need the true guidance in our lives. A lot of people are fooled by their aql, right? And they do haram things, and there is no hidayah, there is no guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Surah Kahf, which we read every Jummah, when Musa alayhi salam came to Al-Khidr, who is not a prophet, according to the majority of the ulama, a prophet, one of Ulul Azm, is coming to Al-Khidr, who is not a prophet, عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُجْدًا. I want you to teach me right guidance. Not just knowledge, right guidance. Right? So look for the right guidance. The kuffar who were destroyed in Surah Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. They had the aql. They were capable of sound reasoning. They were intelligent people. But there is no irshad. We see Qarun, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Even Qarun, he said, I'm intelligent, I have knowledge. But there is no right hidayah, there is no right guidance, right? So you look for the right guidance. Where do you find it? In the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the ulama, with reliable, reliable ulama that, you know, you can get knowledge from. So this is where you should seek hidayah and knowledge. I remember the story, Wahid bin Abdullah bin Mansura. So mashallah, on his own, he memorized Bukhari, Muslim, Dawood, Tirmidhi, all the books of hadith. On his own, he doesn't have a teacher, he just memorized a hadith. And he would quote them. You see, so he has the knowledge, but there is no irshad, there is no hidayah, there is no hikmah. So what he did basically, he came across this hadith in Bukhari, where it says that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الدهن. Duhn in one of the meanings is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the meaning of the word duhn in Arabic, or dihn, means fat. So every time he had qurbani or something, he would invite his friends and he would give them the food, over the food, the lahma, and he would give them fat. They said, man, I have cholesterol, my blood pressure, I can't eat this stuff. The fat, he said, you don't love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he loved duhn, eat. And they all said, okay, and he would eat. And it happened for several years. So every time Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't eat, so they would eat, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they eat. So one time a scholar of hadith, he visited the town in Mansura. He gave khutbah, he was a scholar of hadith. So they met him after. They said, did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did he like duhn? And he said, yes, it's authentic in Bukhari. Yeah, I told you, it's authentic. And they said, what does it mean? He said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved duhn. Duhn here means perfume. He loved perfume. So what we know from the story, we see these guys running after the host in the open fields with an axe. We go up and fast for most of the time, right? So yeah, the knowledge is there, but there is no hidayah. Like, subhanAllah, you need proper guidance. Knowledge by itself is not enough. A lot of people are misguided just because of their aql. Someone has a PhD, OPD, all these titles from Yale University, University of Toronto. God doesn't exist. So someone is misguided by their guidance. SubhanAllah, if you look at, you know, something around you, the camera, the most sophisticated camera by Sony, if you tell them, do you think this came about by chance? It doesn't make any sense. What about your human eye, which is thousands of times more sophisticated than the camera? Do you think this came about by chance? Oh, of course, it doesn't exist. How come? SubhanAllah. So some don't trust the aql. By itself, it has to be guided by proper hikmah wal irshad. Number three, and this is one of the top reasons why we have problems and issues in our lives, is because of the ego. Because when you set yourself as a standard, everything else, everyone else around you is wrong, I'm the standard. Everyone has to go according to your pace, to do things the way you do them, otherwise they are wrong. For example, we see it all the time, you're driving your car, and the guy in front of you is, he or she sticks to the speed limit on the road sign. And you're in a rush, you want to move faster, and you keep hugging to them. Shake a leg. Jaldi, jaldi. Go. Like, what's wrong with you? And subhanAllah, another time someone is driving behind you, you're slow for them, and they're honking to you. And you, hey, yo, sabr, sabr, patience. Like, because you set yourself as a standard. If you get an assignment, something you have to do at your work, if you work for a company and your boss says to you and two of your colleagues, do this by Friday, so your colleague who did his job first, ahead of you, he's kissing up to the manager. The one who turns in their assignment after you, oh, he's lazy. It's not good. Why? Because you set yourself as the standard. I'm the best. I'm the center of the universe. Everyone should do like me. When you have a collection or a fundraiser, you gave $100, so for you this is the standard. If someone gives more, show off. If someone gives less than you, bakhir, cheap. Why? Because you set yourself as the standard. Right? Because of the ego. I'm the standard, I'm the best, everyone else doesn't really matter. Right? And because of this ego problem, subhanAllah, I see a lot of problems when I do a lot of counseling. Because I'm right, everyone else is wrong. I see it when I do counseling. The husband and his wife, they come and they do counseling. And if you talk to them individually, mashallah, by themselves, everyone is miskeen, Ana Mazloom, Oscars, mashallah, Mumassilin Kubar, right? And subhanAllah, when you bring them together, the haqq, the truth will come out. There's no more acting, right? Khalas. And yeah, you see it all the time, Mazloom, miskeen. So sometimes, if you want to have a good relationship with Allah and the people, start to question yourself. Yeah, they could be wrong, but what if you are wrong? Put a 1% chance that you are wrong, and 99% chance that they are on the haq, they are doing the right thing, and wallahi, this will help you a lot. So remember the story of the husband and his wife, they moved to a new house. So his wife looked outside the window, through the glass of the window. The neighbor's wife, she washed the clothes and she was drying them up outside. So she looked and she said, our neighbor's wife doesn't know how to wash clothes because they are dirty. What's wrong with them? Shu'al maskhara, shu'al alam. Right? So I said, oh, subhanAllah. So next day she said the same thing. A week after she said the same thing about her neighbor's clothes and washing skills. So 10 days later, she woke up in the morning, she looked outside the window through the glass, and the clothes were clean. And she said to her husband, you know, my neighbor's wife's washing skills are improving. Or maybe she used a new washing powder, or she got a new washing machine. Something is different now. And the husband said, yes, it looks clean now because I just washed our window from the outside. So it turned out that the window was dirty, and whenever she looked, she thought that the neighbor's washing skills were in the basement, right? So sometimes you need to, you know, question yourself. One time I went to a masjid, I did the same mistake, I'm not an angel. So I went one time to give khutbah somewhere. MashaAllah, one of the biggest masajid in the DTA, I gave the khutbah, everyone was happy, oh, he's funny. He should quit this imam job and start his own stand-up comedy thing, okay, whatever, that's okay. So after I finished my khutbah, I remember before the khutbah, I put my shoes there. I came out to take my shoes after the khutbah. My shoes were not there. Mushkila wain, big problem. What is this, man? Why did I come to this masjid full of chor, curses, tuk, thief, lis? Shu'al alam, shu'al maskhara, I'm not coming here again. I was looking wallahi for 5 minutes everywhere. I couldn't find my shoes. Why did I ever come here? They stole my shoes. You know what? I'm gonna walk barefooted to my car in protest. I will never come here again. And subhanAllah, the president came to say goodbye. And he saw me without my shoes and he said, are these your shoes? Yeah, they are my shoes. So it turned out that I put them down there. They have this hidden shelf. I put them down there. Unutum, I forgot. I couldn't see it. So I blamed everyone except for myself. It was my fault. And sometimes, wallahi, we do the same thing, right? So sometimes you need to question yourself. Maybe it's your problem, not their problem. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين.
The reason why a lot of people do not improve from one year to another, they're still the same person, the same Muhammad, the same Ibrahim, the same Zainab from last year and the year before. Everything is the same. No khushu' in salah, their tajweed sucks, they still have a broken relationship with those around them, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not improving at all. And the reason, one reason is because they don't have ulu in him. They are just happy with the way they are. They don't want to improve. They don't think big and aim high. I'm okay, I'm good, I'm the standard. No, you try to improve all the time, right? You should improve all the time. Again, if you are the same from last year, you just wasted 1 year of your life. Try to learn something new. If your typing skills are still like 5 words per minute, you tap with one finger, what is the F, where is the X? No, you should learn something new. Tajweed, learn your parents' language, Urdu, Turkish, Somali, learn another language. Learn about computers, learn about typing, about coding, learn something new. Try to improve your relationships and try to be a pioneer in something. What is your legacy? What are you good at? Right? Try to outskill other people and leave a legacy behind. There's a hadith of Musnad Imam Ahmad, one of the Sahaba, he has one of the most difficult names in the book. I'm surprised I was able to memorize it. His name was Dhal Jawshan al-Dibabi. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ came to this man after Badr and he said, Ya Dhal Jawshan, Muslims are few in number. If you accept Islam now, you'll be one of the pioneers like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Right? أَلَكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْأَوَائِلِ فِي أَوَّلِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Would you like to be one of the pioneers? He said, no, not interested. He said, why? He said, I will wait. We have time. I will wait. If the people of Makkah beat you, they kill you, خلاص, no problem. كُوِمَ صَلَنْهِ صَرَنْيُكْ. Everything is okay. If you beat them, then it's cool, I'm gonna follow you. 7-8 years later, the Prophet ﷺ beat the people of Makkah, he became the ruler, he became victorious. And the people of Makkah and thousands of others came to take Shahada, including Dhul Jawshan al-Dibabi. So the Prophet ﷺ smiled at him and, you know, too late. But alhamdulillah, he accepted Islam. And the narrator of the hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, he said, I saw Dhul Jawshan biting his fingers. Like, because if he accepted Islam 7-8 years earlier, this is a sign of ikhlas, because Muslims were few, they were weak, miskin, ikhlas. But now thousands of people are taking shahada because the Prophet ﷺ is now strong, Muslims are strong, they dominated Mecca, Medina, other places. Now he could be mukhlas, maybe he has ikhlas, maybe he's munafiq, we don't know. He's just one guy like other people, right? So try to have a legacy, try to be good at something. So if I ask you, what are you good at? What's your legacy? Oh, my legacy is I sleep the most in my family. I sleep 5 minutes before Fajr, I wake up before Maghrib. What is this, man? I eat the most biryani in the house. This is not a... I come to the masjid and I ruin the imam's life. Right? This is not a good legacy, right? You should be good at something. Like, I volunteer my masjid in the community. I donate money for good causes. I teach my kids to be good Muslim. I volunteer for good causes like, you know, cancer research. I help with the sick kids school, hospital. I do something for the benefit of the community, the small community of Muslims and the large community of Canadians, right? I do something, I'm good at something. And wallah, if you can't do any of this, at least the minimum that you can do, which is great and good, is to teach your kids to be good Muslims, ambassadors for Islam. And alhamdulillah, this would be a great contribution and a great legacy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a second chance to live another life, either to do better this year or to make tawbah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas in everything we say and do. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Iraq, in Palestine, in China, in East Turkestan, and in Burma, and in Palestine, in Yemen, in Libya, Afghanistan, Kashmir, all places, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.